The Survivor Specialist, Phil, Will, and Blake are back. And today we have episode number 2 of our Survivor Winner Rankings. Last week we went 50 through 41. Today we are going to be doing 40 through 31 as we continue our countdown. Got a little PowerPoint ready to go here, everybody. But man, this chat is already popping off on us, with some names getting thrown around. Some we're going to overrank Adam, maybe. Kimmy Two Shoes. I can't see Adam being in this group since he's a friend of the channel. And then we got Daryl Seymour. Boston Rob's going to be ranked way lower than he should be. We got a lot, actually, of comments, and I had posted a couple questions heading into this one, and we'll get to some of that stuff. Blake, have you recovered from the fact that Amber was in the bottom 10 last week?
No, I have not. I literally have been sick to my stomach all day because I knew you were going to remind me that Amber, who won the first All-Stars and is one of the most best winners of all time, is in our bottom 10. It's embarrassing.
That bottom 10 was rage bait, right?
That bottom 10 had to have been rage bait, right?
That was my favorite comment that we got. I put out that thing on Instagram, and it was like, hey, here's our bottom 10. And somebody said, this has to be rage bait. And then somebody else was like, I'm unfollowing you for these takes. It's like, yeah, Bob, Fabio, Chris Underwood, Natalie White, Amber. Yeah, like we are just the kings of rage bait with last week's bottom 10.
Like give me another bottom. Like this wasn't even my bottom 10, obviously, because it takes into account, you know, 5 of the specialist opinions here. But like I was pretty, like it made sense to me, even though Fabio was in there. Like I'm not gonna be like, well, that's rage bait. Like name another 10 winners that would be less of rage. Like I don't understand.
I couldn't agree more, and worth playing for must agree with us because this is a big banger to start the podcast.
Holy crap.
Gives us a reason to keep going. Thank you, worth playing for. I've had such a busy week, needed something fun to tune into. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Now, worth playing for is a big one. We've had a crazy week.
We're getting appetizers the next time we go out, though.
Will and I are recording Survivor Rock Draw after this because we've had a crazy week, too. John Millsap was recording the Jurors video tonight with a broken wrist because he still hasn't gotten surgery yet, but he broke his wrist the other day. So we've had one hell of a week over here at the Specialist, too, and we are excited, and thank you, worth playing for. That is worth playing for, and as Daryl Seymour says, it's also worth paying for. Look at that. Whoa. Wow. We got the puns and everything. I had asked people over on Instagram who they thought that we were going to pull up tonight, who was going to make our next 10. And I'm just going to read off some of the answers we got, and you guys tell me if you think they're going to show up. We got Char Char Wafong saying Rachel Lamont, L. O'Tobes. I don't know who that is. Jam and Savannah. That's
no
obvious.
No way Rachel's in this next 10.
Jam and Savannah's in the thumbnail.
I don't think... Oh, I didn't see the thumbnail. Way to ruin it with the thumbnail. Jam Jam is in the bot. That would be really surprising to me. The thumbnail should have people that sometimes aren't in it, so it's suspense. It's like you don't want to give away 3 of your surprises.
Nice. Or just so, 3 pictures of Will from the specialist.
Or you're hoping for the same reaction that you just had to Jam Jam being there. Kev Hearn says, Vesepia, Danny, Marianne, Adam, Mike Holloway, Rachel, Sophie, Savannah, Jam Jam, and Nick. And then we have D Streets, Tina, Danny, and Aris, and then Michelle Goryev, Denise, Sandra, both versions, Wendell, Michelle, Nick, Savannah, even though she shouldn't be, and Rachel.
Wow.
Just throwing
out I really don't think Adam will appear. Jam Jam, surprising to me that he would fall this low. I think Aubrey is probably somebody we see here. I mean, I had Aubrey very low. I think it's one of the weakest wins on a very weak, like a season where she has such little control, which is a factor I've been used to rank winners. So I'm surprised. Like, I wonder how you took into account Aubrey's game. It is recent. We haven't lived with it for a while, but so many, and it's not necessarily Aubrey's fault, just so many parts of her game and the game of season 50 were in the hands of the producers and not in the hands of the players. So it's hard to be like, yeah, I mean, for anyone who would have won 50, it was probably going to be like, well, you just kind of got lucky and you didn't get sniped by one of the 50 unfair twists that happened.
Which is, one of those questions that you have to ask of, but how do you navigate that? And should you be rewarded? That is what the new era is, unfortunately, is navigating a lot of this. I mean, I will say this. What I find very interesting about this ranking that we are having right now, I have 17 of my bottom 20 in these first 20.
Wow.
John and McKenna have 16 of them. Will in his algorithm, it's all the way down to just 12 of his bottom 20. So I've Will and the algo takes. Don't agree with everybody else.
What about Blake?
Blake is 14.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be, and Blake only had every single one of his, the only one I'm like,
the bottom 20 is actually Blake's top 20.
Like when they're like both Sandras, I'm like, how dare you take away both Sand? Like, nobody could have won Heroes versus Villains, man. Only Sandra, that exact permutation.
I could see an argument for Pearl Island Sandra, but I can't see an argument for Heroes versus Villains Sandra to come up this low. Like that
as a winner coming back and winning on a season where it wasn't all That's winners. Insane. I agree with that. Yeah. I'd also put over there in the chat asking who they think is going to be ranked the highest. And Jam Jam and Savannah both being on this. I did put them in there since they were both on the thumbnail. Savannah got the most votes, and I'll tell you who the other people are once we get to it in here. But
really not. I don't like these thumbnails. They're ruining.
That's great, dude. Why don't you go make the thumbnails then?
I'll make the thumbnail.
You won't.
Let's have a before we air it thumbnail.
Yeah, I think you have the post-airing thumbnail.
Yes.
I mean, we have 35 people watching this. There's going to be over 2,000 or hopefully more over time. Whatever.
All right, let's get Aubrey out of here. Let's go.
So Aubrey's not on this list, guys.
What?
I made a mistake, and Aubrey was actually supposed to be 41, so we just don't get to talk about Aubrey.
No way.
Amber was actually supposed to be in the top 15, and I screwed it up by adding the numbers incorrectly. All right, here's our little slides. You guys ready?
I'm confused of what. So Amber was supposed to be last week.
Yeah, I'm trolling. I'm trolling you both because you're both so confident it's going to be Aubrey. So ranking so far, quick update. A reminder, 50 Underwood, 49 Bob, 48 Jenna, 47 Gabler, 46 Ben, 45 Fabio, 44 Natalie White, 43 Kenzie, 42 Amber, 41 Erico, or Will, what do we call that?
What?
Rage bait. Okay, so that's our ranking so far. And if you're looking at that list and you're like, these guys are so stupid, I hate everything about them. We are just, I don't know what portion of the internet you want because it's not us.
Yeah, that looks like a bottom. Like if you were to group these winners and like put them out without a title or group, like if this was Connections or something, some version of Connections, you'd like see this list of Survivor winners and you'd be like, oh, this is like the bottom 10 winners. Like you would get there.
So we're going to jump into the next grouping here. And here is number 40. And it's the aforementioned Aubrey Bracco coming in from season 50. Highest ranking was John and McKenna at 23. Lowest ranking was Will at 48. And I'm going to tell everybody this right now because I put together this and Will and Blake haven't seen this. This is pretty much a fight between Will and either John and McKenna or Blake for the entirety of this podcast. I have, I think, one highest ranking and one lowest ranking, and that is it. Everything else is just Will and Blake and John and McKenna being as far away from each other in their rankings as humanly possible. So John and McKenna coming in at 23. Will, you really did ensure that Aubrey was pretty low, though, because the gap, I talked about this last week, with some gaps in the scoring from last week, but the difference between 40 and 33 is only 15 points. And you putting Aubrey this low, this was the lowest by not actually that much because Blake had her at 43, but you definitely solidified her spot at 40.
Yeah, I mean, I was hoping, I mean, not hoping. Look, I think Aubrey, I like Aubrey as a person. I've met her a few times. You know, if I were ranking, yeah, like she should have been in the bottom 10, I think. And again, I mentioned this as, you know, the prediction, but like, it's not all her fault here. I think a lot of winners, potential winners on 50 would end up in my bottom five winners ever just due to the format of the season. You could argue, well, there's more players than ever. She had to outlast 23 others and get the jury votes. Sure. But there was just so much out of her control and out of anyone's control that it's hard to sit here and be like, yeah, Aubrey grabbed the bull by the horns and took that bull to the end and won. Like, it's just not the way she played. And we've seen Aubrey play a better game. Like, her co-run game is leagues ahead of her season 50 game. I also think, like, the target level for her was so diminished. Like, obviously, after Koran was a major threat, and she still found a way to, like, stay in it for game changers, but she, you know, wasn't involved in kind of the deciding faction of that post-merge, wasn't in on all the votes, was just kind of hanging around. Edge of Extinction, we talked about, kind of an unfair setup with the whole captain thing, but those are, like, two pretty weak outings compared to her Korong outing. And so by the time she does appear on Winners at War, or sorry, season 50, you're not really threatened by Aubrey. You're threatened by more recent players like your Genevieves, or some old legends like Colby, who happened to go out in the worst twist ever. So I don't know. I think her threat level was so low. Also, it's her fourth time. I mentioned this last week, the algorithm does add bonus points if you win on your first try or your second try. And then if you win on your third or fourth try, you're not getting any added, like, oh, you're new to the game. So, yeah, I feel like Aubrey was the best, like, last person standing. Aubrey didn't put herself in a position to win.
And so this comment from Tom Farrell, I think this is what's interesting, and I think this is a good place to start since we're having Aubrey's winning game ranked 40th. Tom Farrell says, might be a hot take. I agree she's a low tier winner, but might be a top 10 Survivor player of all time. Like, Will, you rank her her winning game 48th, but you're probably, if you're doing a player ranking, you're ranking Aubrey over a lot of people you have ranked over her here.
Right. We are just talking about her winning game. I think she's done better things on her previous outings. So and she's probably a top 25 player. I think top 10 would probably be a little too generous. Maybe top 25, top 30 in that range.
Damn,
so
hater squad.
I think that's low. I mean, we got a second, a fifth, a win on an all-star season. She did everything
I don't see it as that impressive of a win. I've gone on and talking about it. It just feels like there wasn't that many active decisions that she made to get herself there. It felt like it was just a gauntlet of twists and production interference. And then, like, she was the last, like, bowling pin wobbling up at the end. It didn't feel like there was much rhyme or reason to her navigating the game. This is very evident by the storytelling. I think, look, we've seen what a strategic version of Aubrey who's controlling the votes, controlling the alliances post-merge. We've seen what that looks like. We have an example of it. That is not what we got on season 50. Season 50 had some of the worst storytelling I've ever seen, and a lot of it was in due part to a winner that didn't really take any, like, objective action. This is, like, pretty, for me at least, the way I watch and enjoy the show, she's not... Again, great player. Her win is one of the worst wins, I think, in the history of the show. Sorry, Rizgot, it is.
Yeah, Jonathan. Daryl Seymour says Jonathan had more control than Aubrey, and Rizgot said, I promise you he didn't have more control. I'm very much looking forward to this Rizgot appearance on The Specialist. It's going to happen.
Is Rizgot the Rizzo from the show?
Well, no. So this is actually just like a fake Rizgot account who just happens to do the most perfect impression you've ever seen. Oh. But yeah, no, the Rizzo thing is going to be good. Go ahead. What do you got?
My thought on Aubrey. We just talked about Erica. And I think Aubrey is taking the Erica game and doing it in an all-star season. I could have gone home in the early. Well, was it if the blue team had lost a couple, maybe she goes home. If any of her pre-merge tribes had lost, Aubrey's maybe screwed early on. And now she's just talking to everybody. She's the person to be on everyone's ear. I do think there's some people that could never do that. And I do get the idea of, well, when there's 13 threats and 16 people in the merge, you're one of the non-threats. It is kind of like, okay, well, I had to get rid of my idol, and that's a decision I purposely made. I had to talk to this group of people, and that's a decision I purposely made that I think does put her above how many people? Like, 7 people. And, like, I do think 40, like, 23 is kind of insane, but I do get when you're outmaneuvering Suri and Devins and Christian, that's maybe a little bit wins above, what is that? War?
Wins above replacement.
Wins yeah. above replacement is better than what Yam Aracho is playing against.
Here's so I ranked her at 34, which, as we all know, based on people's reactions, is the proper ranking of Aubrey, really. Mm. But I ranked Aubrey at 34, and here's my reason. As we've been going through doing Every Season Matters, we're into Millennials versus Gen X and Game Changers. Ko Rong was the last version of Old Survivor. It filmed before Cambodia. Cambodia comes along and Survivor totally changes for the remainder of its existence. Now, Aubrey came back and played in Game Changers, but that is such a bizarre season. And even rewatching that, I'm like, even Sarah feels like she's just, they're all along for the ride early on. Production is just interfering nonstop. But what I'm impressed with, and the reason why I ranked her at 34 and a little bit higher than you two, not as high as John and McKenna, but the adaptability to go from like playing an ultra aggressive, ultra strategic game in Ko Rong, not winning with it, and then adapting your game not only to get the votes if you get to the end and being a little bit less strategic, being a little bit less in people's face, but also understanding that in this new era version of Survivor, you kind of have to be willing to take a back seat sometimes. And Aubrey took the back seat when she was supposed to. And you might not be satisfied ultimately with her pulling out the win, but she was the one who I think navigated this game the best, doing something completely different than she did in Ko Rong. And whether it was purposeful or not, I don't know. I haven't talked to Aubrey since she won this game, but I do think that there's something impressive about like playing a totally different version of Survivor, coming out and having to adjust as much as she did. And she laid low as often as she did. And we talk about it a lot with the new era people. Rachel did something very similar. Gabler does something very similar. Kenzie does something very similar. Erica does something very similar. Marianne does something very similar. Like in the new era, the lower you lay, the better off you are. As soon as Shaheen stuck his head up, Kyle was like, goodbye. Now I can win the game. I just think that's how it goes. And Mattis says, I think we may be at the point in Survivor where the only way to win now is to have little to no control, which sucks for the viewers, which is fair.
And guess what? We are viewers and we can take that and be like, that's the nature of the show where it is right now, but I don't value that gameplay as much as winners from earlier seasons. So
That's
why I have Aubrey. Rizgat says, where do I have Bob and Chris Underwood? I have Chris Underwood at 50, I believe. And then Rob Crowley. I think Rob Crowley did way more to win Gabon.
You only have him one spot higher than her, though. You have him at 47.
The difference between 47 and 48 is monumental, bro.
Well, also,
you could drive an elephant.
Remember here, I have some objective metrics that I put in, and I have that weighted with my opinions. And so it is funny. This might be the only player out of the rankings. I had Aubrey at 48th in personal game control because that was the thing I wanted to have my subjectivity for. And then the algorithm, based on objective metrics, also had Aubrey at 48. So there was alignment here.
Wow. She,
yeah.
It's going to be funny as we go through trying to figure out, do we kick out John and McKenna or do we kick out Will for the next winner ranking? Because one of them's got to go. I mean, it's just the island's not big enough for both.
34th is way too high, Phil. That's
I don't think so. I think 34 is like the perfect spot. She's just above the low tier. And like, I think having to play on that season with those egos and deal with those people, you have to like, that's not an easy thing to do. And for her to be willing to say, you know what, I don't need to be the star of the season. I'm taking the $2 million home. That's impressive.
I don't think that was a decision. I think that just was the outcome. That was just the result. I don't know if that was like revisionist history. Here was my plan the whole time. I think that just,
I think if you're where watching
that's where the cookies crumble, man. That's
if
where
you're
the
watching her fall.
That's where the
she's
apple falls from the tree. That's just how it ended up. I don't know if this was conscious. My plan is to lay low until Suri and Devins are with me and they've done the most. And I'm going to take them out because it's the easiest and obvious thing to do at that point. Anyway,
I mean, to each their own, but I don't even know if I know you said that you ended up at the same place as the robot, but how do I know that the robot didn't infect you by that point?
True.
And that you were just being controlled already, mind games.
Robo Will.
All right. So the next one, we're gonna move on to 39. This person comes from the first 20 seasons. Who wants to take a stab at who they think it is?
I'm nervous.
Mm.
Danny Boatwright, somebody guessed it earlier, so I'll
okay, Danny Boatwright. Well, what do you think?
What about Aris?
No,
it's Ethan Zahn.
Let's go.
Wow.
Will, you have him ranked at 41. How can you respond wow when he's 39?
I can still be surprised that other people had him so low.
You're the one dragging him down, brother. Oh, Ethan, are you hungry? I haven't fed you yet.
I think 41's pretty fair, right?
Dude, just the fact that you just made that reaction all to then be the one who is the reason he's low.
Look at this Blake, list.
Blake has him ranked the highest at 25. Will you have him the lowest at 41? I will say that I am right there with you, Will. I had him at 40, and John and McKenna had him at 39. So actually,
wait. So all three of us are basically like all within two spots of each other. Really, Blake the other one bringing him up.
Yeah, Blake dragged him up. He would have been in there last week. What's so interesting about Ethan? So I love Africa. Blake and Will, you guys are both low on Africa. For anybody who's listening to Every Season Matters, you guys know Blake and Will are really low on the season. But I personally like Africa. To me, is just like one of those quintessential old school seasons. It's the first twist. I do love the cast. I don't mind that it gets a little predictable in the post merge. The thing for me is Ethan is kind of that first person who just glides along. And that's why I ranked him this low, because I actually think out of the first five winners, he is clearly the one who is doing the least to put himself in the position of getting the win. He's very closely aligned with Big Tom. He's very closely aligned with Lex. The reason why I have somebody like Vesepia way higher than Ethan is because Vesepia had to overcome a deficit. Like Ethan goes in, this is actually the first season where we see a tribe go in with an advantage at the merge, 6-4. Now they almost blow it. Brandon somehow makes it so that Lex doesn't go home at 9 and instead it's Kelly Goldsmith. But they do go in with an advantage, and Ethan's able to just coast along. Now, he has the great idea of throwing the challenge to get rid of Silas, which I know was him and Kim Johnson together. But ultimately, credit goes to Ethan in the edit. So Ethan does that. Ethan, if you were to say just rank your favorite winners, I mean, I was 9 years old and played soccer. I loved Ethan. Like, Ethan was the guy. When he comes back and plays in 40, I hated Edge of Extinction, but it's pretty hard not to get emotional watching him in that one challenge. Everything that he went through immediately after being on Survivor and everything that he's done, he is awesome. But in terms of gameplay, I just put him down here. And I will, I'm kind of in agreement with you. I just like that I get to put your name there next to lowest ranking.
Yeah, I mean, I think you said it really well. It's like, we liked, or were we rooting for these people? Sure, but are we like ranking their gameplay and how much should they win to earn their win? I mean, at least that's how I'm looking at it. We said last week, if you haven't listened to last week, you're like, what's even like the criteria for ranking a winner? How does this even work? I think everyone has their own. There's no right answer. Everyone did the objective thing they needed to do, which is get enough jury votes at the end. And so for me, who's someone who appreciates like active play to put yourself in a position to win, Ethan's not very high on that list. Super likable dude. Going to get jury votes at the end if he's sitting there for sure. You know, maybe if he played 5 to 10 seasons later, he's a little more active in the gameplay department. Here, he didn't have to be. Again, not anyone's fault here. We can't blame any of these people for winning Survivor and getting $1 million, in some cases, $2 million. But, I mean, they were far more active people, especially, you know, Lex is playing harder here. And maybe this is a little bit like Jenna Maraska coming last week, where it's like, wow, we get to the end, it's Jenna and Matt, when maybe Rob was kind of steering the ship post merge. Feels like this was kind of Lex's game, and then Lex comes up short. This was kind of Lex's game, Lex's season, and he kind of comes up short. So you're kind of defaulting to like who's the next person up, and that's not something I'm going to reward with a ranking.
I just need to make sure we have two ways that we can clip that, so I can just post that all the time, because Will is like really low on Lex, surprisingly, for an old school fan. So for him to say that twice in the same podcast is good. But I do agree with everything you just said, Will.
I've always said that Lex is closer to coach than people think. He's not this pure, like, you know, strategic genius. There's a lot of delusion. Obviously, when he literally votes Ethan out of All Stars and then gets mad when Rob betrays him, it's like that's how it goes.
Well, now that we got all the haters done talking about this, let's
Blake, before you say it though, you had him ranked.
No, let's go on to the next
below Amber.
Great.
Okay, I want to hear this. Go ahead.
What are you talking about? Why?
Well, I mean, if everybody ranked him one spot below Amber, he should have been like 47. I don't know how. I'm just curious what was the criteria to put Amber above Ethan?
I don't know why the ranking is not on trial. The Blaking is. Okay, here's what I'm talking about. Everything you said, I think, is something that, just like everything in the world, that seems like negatives to you, that seems like positives to me. I could never effortlessly glide through a season of Survivor in my entire life. There's 750 people plus the 21 that have done 51 and the 21 that have done 52. So we're almost at 800, maybe. 800 people have played Survivor. Maybe 15 people could effortlessly slide through a season of Survivor. Ethan's one of them. I don't know how somebody that's as physically prowess as him, he's a professional soccer player. He's introducing himself as a professional soccer player. He does zero votes against. Everybody else that is, a challenge threat, goes immediately. Is it because he's likable? Is it because he's in an alliance? Is it because, well, all of those usually get you knocked out too. And it is something where, Lex blows it at the end. Well, Lex didn't blow it at the end. Like, Kim Johnson wins. And it is something where, Kim J is making that decision. And, Ethan loses some points on that. But Kim Johnson thinks she can beat Ethan. So, it's crazy that all of his stuff is, I'm not too threatening to the other threats. I'm not too unthreatening to the non-threats where they will go against, where I won't get votes against them. He's literally perfectly in the middle. I can't do that. And I'm impressed by things that I can't do at all. And I think that's why I have him over some New Era winners. That's why I have him over some of these I'm a great strategist. And there's 9,000 decisions I made during my season, because I think Ethan plays the perfect game for Africa and it looked effortless the whole time. And whenever he talks about it, it doesn't seem like was there a lot of decisions for him? No, but it is whenever I was doing everything, I did everything correct.
I just feel like Ethan. I get what you're saying, but I think the reason why it was so effortless for Ethan was because they went in up 6-4. And then as soon as the fake threat of getting rid of Lex, Brandon blows that up, Frank and T-Bird are like, okay, great, we're back with Baran then. We don't really care. And so he's able to just cruise and he's able to just be on cruise control, which I understand why you're saying this is a positive. This was still in the era, though, where we weren't really seeing any disruption of pagongings. I know we do technically see one in Survivor Australia.
If we're about to rank D5, 5 points higher than Ethan, I'm gonna be like, Ethan and D have very similar games of yes, he has
one of the strategically in charge of the New Era by far, with the lie about the Julie idol. That move alone puts
Ethan had idols, he would have lied about him too. So
we saw him on
Tomatoes. We don't get to see that. That's not what he did in Africa. And we were I hear you. I think Ethan right here is a great example of there's no right answer. Blake appreciates somebody who is so does literally nothing, but that is how good they are at being on cruise control, and he values that. That's impressive. And I hear you. I'm he was on cruise control, did nothing. I'm not going to rank him high in my rankings because I value active game decisions. And so that's fine. We probably are entertained by a different style of Survivor game, and that's why we have them, 24 spots apart? Or no, did I do that?
That's 16
spots apart.
So the algorithm that you made, which involved math, did you do the math on that? Because after
computer computated.
Okay.
Where did the computer have Ethan? Let's see. 33. So nice.
That's right by me.
That's right, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not far off. Look.
Well, it's in between us. Yeah.
Yeah. All these people coming up. So, Blake, are you ready?
It's me again.
Are you ready? In Backtrack by Mark Cameron, the past is prologue for a violent criminal with three names, Ricky Lee Pink. Pink has been rotting in jail for years, plotting revenge against the man who thwarted his almost perfect theft of $5 million in diamonds. That man, Wayne Cutter, is deceased, but his grandson, Arliss, is very much alive, for now. Pink and Cutter are about to collide in a violent confrontation on a floating city in the middle of the water, a massive cruise ship traveling around Alaska's Inside Passage. An experienced U.S. Marshal, Arliss must move fast but cautiously, or he may be the last of the Cutter family tree. As Survivor fans, it's not just the strategy and social dynamics that keep us enthralled. It's also the idea of man versus wild. This concept is at the heart of all Mark Cameron's novels, and it's especially prevalent in Backtrack. It's one of the main reasons I enjoyed this book, and as listeners of The Specialists, I know you will too. If you're an outdoor enthusiast, fan of wilderness thrillers by authors C.J. Box and William Kent Kruger, or just love a fast-paced action thriller from the likes of Brad Thor or Jack Carr, make sure to pick up your copy of Backtrack today. An Alaskan resident and Texas native with nearly 30 years in law enforcement, Cameron is a master of action and gritty detail. He brings explosive authenticity to Backtrack as U.S. Marshal Arliss Cutter's manhunt will employ all his skills and knowledge as a member of the U.S. Marshal's Service. Backtrack by Mark Cameron is available now wherever books are sold.
No, what is about to happen? Stephanie LaGrossa?
38. Aaron,
no,
from Panama. Blake again with the highest ranking. Again
with the highest ranking.
Here we go, Blake. At
oh, you guys don't like 44. Alpha males that are attractive that win Survivor early on.
Because you're Aris jealous. If Aris is an jealous. Alpha male on this season, we got other things coming. But anyway, I mean, here we go. 38, Aris. I will say that I included Aris's name in the poll and said, who do you think is the highest ranked Survivor winner out of these four options? Aris did get 25% of votes for the four people that I put up there, but he was behind both Jam Jam and Savannah. So, Blake, I know you love this season, so I'll let you go first, I'll let Will just destroy you.
All right. Aris, let me look at my list as I'm doing this because he's one above Amber. Literally everyone above Aris is like considered a good winner. So I think this is the top of my tier of like middle tier, this is my sentimental fave. Of I was rooting for Aris so much whenever I was a 16-year-old boy in Odessa, Texas, of him and Ceree are going to do this. Danielle betrayed Ceree. Screw her. He fell on the rock, and I was like, no! I do think being the leader of one of the most dysfunctional tribes of all time is something not many people can do. And I think that's something when you saw him play a second time, it is like this presence is very calming. He can do a lot of weird stuff. Maybe he can't control Colton. Who can? But Aris is somebody that I think played hard. I think it was like, all right, Shane, what are you going to say today? All right, Courtney, I know. I've got to listen to Bruce talk for 8 hours today. I can do this. There's so many things that would trip up so many other people, and we do see that happening. And then also, Lamina are going to be voting for you every 5 seconds. So he is on the chopping block of his alliance. If Terry ever uses his idol, if they ever go after Terry, Aris is going home. And it is something where it's like, he needs to balance all of this stuff that has never happened in the game. And I think whenever he does get to the end, 5 out of 2 vote. I don't remember who the two that didn't vote for him, but it is something where it's like, I think his win, it's not 7-0. I'm not about to say it felt like it was unanimous, but it felt like it was an earned win and Danielle stole a vote maybe. But I think it's something where I was impressed with Aris the whole time. I was rooting for him the whole time, but I know damn well he's not like he did everything himself because he was working together with one of the most popular strategists of all time. I almost said strategist. So I love Aris. It is Ceree's win, if we're doing all these, that's Rob Cesternino's win. That's Lex's win. This is Ceree's win, but I think Aris was way more implemented in his stuff. That's Rob Mariano's win for Amber. Like, that's all in this area for me, but I do think these people were active in their wins, and Aris is the most active in his win.
Before Will, I go to you. So I had Aris ranked at 37, so almost landed him exactly here. So I'm fine with that. Johnny McKenna had him at 40. My thing with Aris is every time I rewatch this season, I'm like, I'm going to like Aris more, because I actually do really love Aris in Blood versus Water. Every time I watch Panama, I'm like, here we go, Aris, here we go. And then I just like watch the season and I kind of forget he's there. I just feel like he falls so much to the background, which I understand maybe is what you needed to do on that alliance, but or on that season. But Ceri is the strategic person. Ceri saves Aris's ass towards the end of the season. Like, Terry is who you're rooting for from a physical standpoint, from an underdog standpoint. Aris versus Danielle is just such a letdown of a final tribal. And I understand that Aris is who's kind of keeping this whole tribe together. But then when you rewatch it, it's really not as much of him keeping that tribe together as you think it is. Ceri has a much bigger hand in that than people give credit for. So Worth Playing For says, can you talk about the positives? I mean, that's Blake just did that. For me, Aris's game, the reason why I rank him at 37 is because that alliance was never breaking up, even when it made sense to. And he got to benefit from that, and he got his ass saved a couple times. And yeah, I mean, that's it, Aris. So go ahead, Will.
Yeah, I think here, I mean, the algorithm, he got hurt in a couple spots. One being, we've mentioned already, is this, you know, Blake kept saying this was Ceri's win. And Blake, or Phil comes in correctly, like, well, what about Terry? And I'm saying that, what about Terry also? And I think that's probably my biggest knock on Aris, is that there are two people very deep into the game that are very capable of beating him. We have a comment saying that Ceri probably doesn't beat him. I don't know if that's true. I feel like Ceri, I think Ceri definitely wins against Aris. I think Danielle, you know, is a great person to take to the end. We're still in a final two era, which, look, it's not like a total knock, but like, it's not as impressive getting jury of votes against one person as it is to get two people. You know, beating two people is more difficult. And then, yeah, I can respect the he took care of the crazies, but I don't think that was like a solo mission. I don't know if we even see that much of him actively doing it. I think that's something we kind of tell ourselves to make our champion of our favorite show feel better. Yeah, I mean, you guys watch Arrested Development? Who's your favorite character?
Joe.
Buster.
Yeah, I like Lucille and maybe George Bluth. It's not Michael Bluth. I don't know if Michael Bluth is anybody's favorite character.
I like that.
And I know this isn't a favorites ranking. We are playing on doing on gameplay, but Aris kind of falls into like the straight man of the crazies. And I don't know. I mean, maybe I am like have some bias in that. Like, I think there are just so many other better characters that I don't know if I've ever been like, oh, I'm blown away by his win. We had two very strong winner contenders, very deep into the game. He was not one of them. So,
yeah. Well, and again, I go back to like, if it's not for Ceri's 3-2-1, he's gone there. It's over for him. And I think that is what, you know, he gets saved there close to the end. Ceri and Terry both beat him. I know that there's people in here, but like Jeff literally asks them at the final tribal and like they all raise their hand for Terry. Terry's winning that. Terry's going in with two locked in votes and probably convincing Shane and Bruce to both vote for him. Honestly, he probably gets Courtney's vote. You know why I think that? Because Courtney didn't vote for Aris. Courtney did vote for Aris, which is crazy. But like Bruce and Shane vote for Danielle. If they're willing to vote for Danielle over Aris, they're definitely going to vote for Terry over Aris. Like, I'm sorry. So,
and that final immunity challenge is one of like the least equitable in terms of like, we do something that anybody can win. That's kind of what you want out of a final immunity challenge. That's why, you know, hand on an idol is like a classic one. You're just literally holding on to something. That's why we see Samotion over and over again in the 30s, 40s, a new era, because it is an equalizer. Anyone can do it. That final immunity challenge, Terry has no chance of winning. That's pretty lucky in terms of final immunity challenges. That one is like designed for Danielle to win. And that's like, I don't know. That's another caveat there. Like I guess what I'm saying is there are so many scenarios in which the season ends without Aris winning. And I value the wins where it's like, wait, no matter which way this was going, like this player found a way to keep going in, or every way this cookie crumbles, this player is going to at least have a pretty good shot at making final three and getting enough jury votes. I don't feel like that's the case with Aris.
And I'm glad I live in the universe where Aris wins and gets 9 votes against, because Terry could play 50 times and lose all 50 Survivor. He will never win. Eat it, Terry fans. Die. Let's go.
I'm a huge Terry fan. I think that'd be crazy if I died on the podcast. I think that's a little aggressive. I mean, if you think Aris is more entertaining and interesting than Terry,
Yeah, for about 20 years now.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to tell me to die, I'll just call you a moron to everybody. I mean, that's crazy talk. I mean, Terry and
die in the sense of like,
TV for Aris, we only got back because of his brother. And if it hadn't been for his brother and him having a feud, Aris disappears and he's probably in the 40s on this list. So, I mean, if you want to get real, Blake, let's get real right now since you're telling me to go die. Let's do it. Yeah, anyway.
Focus on the positives, please, for 30
yeah,
seconds.
As Craig Shiloh said, Shane already unalived her in her shitty apartment. That's Courtney. Oh, but Blake, it sounds like Blake wants everybody who likes Terry to be unalived. So, anywho, we're moving on to 37. And I have good news for everybody but Blake. It's not Cochran. So that's good. So we can get through this. You know, let's just keep rubbing in Blake's face.
Unanimous perfect game winner Cochran.
Here we go. You guys ready for 37? Savannah.
No.
You guys. So what's interesting about Savannah is such a tight range here. Like, she's 37. We all had her ranked between 29 and 38. Everybody else we've done so far has had somebody who's really low, somebody who's really high, or just everybody's been really low. So Savannah coming in here at 37 surprised me a little bit. And I wonder how we will feel about Savannah a couple years down the line when we've had time to digest her 49 season and watch it again, not just sitting there being like, she's going to be on 50. So we all know she wins. Will we find it more impressive? I had her ranked at 29, which is the highest placement, but only 8 spots higher than this. So I'm okay with Savannah coming in here at 37. I did think that she would rank higher, though. I'm surprised that everybody was kind of in agreement here on putting her into the 30s. John and McKenna also at number 35. So everybody was feeling kind of the same way as about Savannah. Will, maybe you go first here so that Blake doesn't say Riz God being a fan of Savannah should be unalived or anything.
You know? Oh, yeah, my God.
I feel like
Riz, though, I think.
I feel like we're getting definitely to a point into the mid-30s where it sounds like, oh, this is a bottom 20 winner or bottom 15 winner right now. Where you're like, yeah, but most winners are pretty good. So it's like when we almost rank seasons, it's like, oh, my gosh, I actually ended up really, really enjoying, let's just say, a rant like, you know.
Worlds Apart.
Worlds Apart. Really enjoyed that one. It's like I still have that as like a maybe – a middle tier, like 20th or something, which is still high for Worlds Apart at a 50 seasons. It's probably most people feeling that way, but that's kind of how it goes. There's so many winners. There's so many seasons. The algorithm did not love Savannah's game. Let's see. Savannah ended up at 37th. So, right. I mean, wow. Is the algorithm just cooking right now? Are we this?
Let 37? The algo cook.
Here we go.
Algorithm voted, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't. I wish I had more to say on Savannah. I don't. I think she probably deserves to be higher on this. But it's like who? Every time you move someone up, it's like when people talk about their all-time greats in any sport, like basketball or football. Like, this is my Mount Rushmore. It's like, okay, Steph Curry. He's a top 4 player of all time. Maybe you've heard me say that. Maybe I think he's the best player of all time. If you move him in your top 4, you have to remove someone from the top 4. You can't just add him into the top 4. You can add him to a tier, and you can grow the tier. But if we're talking about rankings, like, there have to be people that then fall. And so I don't know who Savannah – I'm curious who is now coming after Savannah. Maybe we go like, huh, Savannah really worse than this winner? I don't know. I also – it's the new era, probably not hurting or not helping her here, where it's fewer days and – I don't know. She only attended 8 tribal councils. That's one of the lowest. That's why the algorithm probably was knocking her. I don't have a ton to say on Savannah. This feels right.
Blake, why'd you go low on Savannah here?
Savannah. I love Savannah. I think she's a great winner. Unfortunately, she's a new era. And so I hinted at it last time, and it's about to be very apparent very soon.
Hinted at it. I rank new era winners lower.
Guys, by the way, yeah, this is Blake's second highest ranked new era winner.
Oh, I thought I would say that, but Savannah is my second highest ranked new era winner. I like her a lot. I would almost disagree with, oh, this is Rizzo's win. Like, I do think Savannah was right along there. Some of these people were literally on the beach. You can ask them in the chat, but like, it's something where she felt like she knew what she needed to do every round to win. It is, and then she put it into play, put it, put put the plan into motion. Living with Sage for 39 days, that's gotta suck. 26 days, that's gotta suck too. Good for her on that. It is something where Savannah, I think,
fired.
Is literally one of the two best winners of this era. And I think if you emulate her game, you play with intent, and then you like shut the door at fire making, you should win every time. I think Savannah's game is replicable and not easy to do, but if you go on Survivor, play like Savannah.
So you're pretty much saying, like, if you want to win Survivor, play like Savannah, but also she's 38th best winner. I got her 14 spots below Amber Burkage.
Everybody's a winner on this.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to play like Amber.
Amber played 13 more days.
I think Savannah, though, does have like high winning upside on any given season. Oh, yeah. I don't know if season 49, and maybe we were just a little spoiled and like, she's on the next season. Like, we're kind of onto it. Didn't feel as entertaining. So it's hard to kind of put it all into perspective. I don't know. I'm curious seeing like, who are the next people within this episode of this podcast? And I'm going to ask myself, do I think Savannah is a better winner than that winner? And I will tell you the answer because I'm very curious.
You do have Savannah higher than a few people, I think. Actually, okay. I don't know if you do. Anyway,
we did talk about like when you overcome a deficit. I know she was in charge and there were more red people than anybody else at the merge, but her ally goes home at the first merge thing and it is like, oh shit, what are we going to do? Thank God we have all these advantages and it's new era, because maybe you don't win Africa that way because you go home whenever Kim Powers goes home or whatever. So it is something where she used all her advantages correctly. She does everything. Oh, it's split. Well, this is the time I need to win immunity. I think that's one of the most impressive immunity wins in the last 5 years of the show. And that's why I have her as the second highest new era winner.
I think that Savannah's game is it's like the comeback is so good, but it was so telegraphed again because we knew she was going to be on 50. And so because we knew she was going to be on 50, it kind of ruined the drama. And the fact that she was on the third tribe made us all kind of assume Savannah's probably going to win this season. And mm-hmm. So it's not as surprising, but that's where I think, I'm not saying people are going to start ranking Savannah in the top 20, but I do think that more people are going to rank her in the top 30 as I have her down the line. And I do think I overcompensated a little bit for trying to be like anti-recency bias, because coming back from the deficit is really impressive. I mean, the MC vote out, that Savannah is able to bank the vote and like convince, like just pull the wool over everybody's eyes, is really impressive. She should go home when Jawan goes home, but she's able to just blind Sophie Segretti. And then Sophie Segretti goes home right after that. And then it's a steamroll for the rest of the game. Like, I do think that Savannah has a lot of positives. And I think that when people kind of remove themselves from the fact of, we know she's going to play again and you can actually just watch her game, I think it's going to grow for people. I'll compare it to Chris Doherty, but I don't think it's quite to the level of Chris Doherty. But it's one of those where the first time you're watching, you're not really sure what to make of it because of all, you know, different circumstances. One with Chris, you're not really thinking he can pull it off. This one, you kind of already know it's there. But now you watch it a second time and you see how she's able to do it. And I think she's going to move up for people. But for now, I think 37, you know, we're low on the new era. And a lot of that does come down to the fact that Blake was just hammering the shit out of them. But we are lower on the new era. And there's more new era people in this podcast. But we're moving on to 36. And this is one that I ranked. This is the only one that I ranked the lowest. And I would have put her well below Savannah. Actually, I didn't rank her lowest because John and McKenna saved me. But this Danny Boatwright, winner of Survivor Guatemala, Will had her at the highest ranking of 22. John and McKenna had her at 44. I had her in there at 41. And Blake, you had Danny Boatwright at 30. So Blake kind of falling in the middle of all of this. She ends up at 36. This was the only person in my bottom 10 to not be included in last week's episode. I wasn't surprised about that, but I am surprised some of the names she's ahead of right now. I guess, Will, you go first since you have her ranked the highest. What was it about her that makes you want to put her at 22?
Yeah. In my personal rankings, it was 37, and then weighted with the algorithm must have loved Danny. I'm trying to figure
you went from 37 to 22 because of your own algorithm.
Well, the algorithm is taking objective metrics.
The algorithm has him at
the
one.
The algorithm had her at 13. She attended a ton of tribal councils, which is good. She had good, solid win equity at Final Six, if you like it or not. I mean, there was a lot of people there that she was going to beat. Like,
did you have her beating Lydia?
Yes. Not Rafe, though. and then she's vulnerable post-merge a good amount. She just kind of, and then her jury percentage is pretty high. Like, Stephanie only is able to pull one vote. And those are all things the algorithm really likes, because at the end of the day, you want jury votes. And if you're going to a lot of tribal councils, not getting voted out, getting a lot of jury votes, and you can beat a lot of people at the end, that is, and we said this last time, the algorithm totally favors maybe some games that you don't see as much. The algorithm really liked Erica. It really liked Natalie White more so, because it's taking, okay, just what did the metrics say? What did the objective stats tell us about their winning game? And that's maybe why there's a delta between what you see and what you get, especially more with Danny, who has come on the record and said, I did not want to tell the producers my strategy at all. I didn't want to tell them how I was playing, because I think they are rigging the season for Stephanie to win, or it may be Bobby John. They're returning players that they're going to favor more heavily. They want them to get more airtime. They want them to last longer in the game. And if I spill that, that might hurt my own game. And so maybe this is the only winner that's under-edited out of a strategic move, out of a decision. A lot of under-edited winners don't do enough. They don't show the production, fun, entertaining moves and decisions, or good interview bites about their insight into the game and how they're navigating the strategy. By not seeing Danny, that was strategy, and that was a decision that she made. So maybe we should not have her all the way at 44. That's pretty low.
Here's my thing, though. I got to push back on this, because this is something I talked about last week, and I need to bring it up again. I don't understand why attending tribal councils and being vulnerable at tribal councils is a positive for a winner. The entire point of the pre-merge is to win the immunity challenges. Like, I don't understand why
you
Danny
get points for immunity also.
Yeah, but you just said your exact lines here, though. I don't want to confuse the audience. Your exact lines were, it's a good thing. Like, you said it was good that she went to a lot of tribals and that she was vulnerable.
It's good for the algorithm. You get points. Well, if you win a lot of challenges, you also get points. She didn't win a lot of challenges. So I was listing the things that the algorithm liked. She didn't win a lot of challenges. So I can't sit here and be like,
which I just think is a problem, though, with that algorithm, because I think,
trust me, you're going to see some challenge beast. You're going to see challenge beast later, and I'm be like, oh, the algorithm had them at number six. You'd be like, what the hell? I'll be like, well, they won a lot of challenges. So, well, I mean, it depends on the player it depends on the player that we're discussing. I think the algorithm very much so likes jury percentage points in equity at Final Six. And I was listing off some other things, just like how Erica was able to get seven votes out of an 8-person jury. We're like, whoa. How did that happen? That's not the show we watched. Danny was able to get how many votes out of a how many person jury? Seven out of eight?
Here's my thing. You have a 6 out of 7 winner who ties the record for most wins in the history of the show, both like across all challenges below Danny. That I just think is insane.
But we're not taking challenges across the whole show. We're taking challenges just of the season that they're
competing. Yeah, and they did it in their season. They tied the record for the most wins in the history of like one.
All right, well, when we get there, we get that. I don't even know who you're talking about.
The algorithm is not on trial,
dude. I'm saying that is. Yeah, Tom Carroll says the algorithm's falling apart. I'm just pointing out that I think it's crazy that people are.
There's something to be said about going to a lot of tribal councils and finding ways to not get it voted out. There's something to be said for that.
Denise.
There is, but I don't think that makes you a better player. I think if you're winning immunity,
it gives you more opportunities to show your skills. Look, I had her at 37, okay, in my own, but the algorithm must be seeing something here.
So if Will would have ranked her at 37, just so everybody knows, she would have only fallen to 40, so she still would have made it into this episode. So that's fair. Okay. Now, granted, Will's rankings would have been way different, but all right. Like, you haven't spoken on Danny, have you?
No.
Let's keep it down.
All right, next up, who's 35?
Yeah, no, go ahead, Blake.
I think Danny is she was a sexy pick for people to be like, I'm going to pick a random season with a weird winner and like really vouch for them for a while. But I, why'd you put me by? What the hell?
But you can't be seen.
All right. Now, okay. So I do think there's the thought process of the last one alive. And then, okay, you guys are tired enough of each other. That's a very hard thing to do. I think the Rafe dilemma of like, it's cutthroat. I did the right thing. I think Stephanie going from the golden child to everybody being like, I can't stand this person. It recognizing that and kind of being like, hey, Stephanie, you're going to, I don't know what, if she did all this. This is all like what I'm assuming happened is like, you could still win. You got all your friends on the jury. I'll help you get there. I know there's not a lot of like, can you replicate this? I know there's not a lot of look at these dynamite moves, but I do think there's something to be said for like, she was important to everybody that worked with her. She was important to people that weren't working with her. And then because she was important and flexible and like available, she is in that final three spot to win. Like she's one of those people wins the immunity. Whenever it's time to shut up or put up, she put up buckets on the other two and took the win. And I think that's something where we could always be like, ah, I don't really appreciate that. But like in that old school part of Survivor before there's immunity idols everywhere, there was one. It is something where you want to be putting yourself where you can win an immunity and win the whole game. And that's what Danny did. Mm-hmm. So it's not bottom 10.
For you know, me, it's, like a, it's a poor man's Chris game. And that's
who do you think this game actually is most like? Like if we're being real.
Who? Aubrey?
Michelle.
It's similar to Michelle, yeah.
It's like the closest thing. This is the Michelle.
Except Michelle window. Doesn't go to any tribals early, therefore she stinks, according to Will.
Yeah, she had to do less to win. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
And Aubrey didn't say
winning challenges is doing less.
Well, it's doing less in terms of like gritting your in finding ways to survive vote outs. Like that's I know
that's
it's
a way to survive it, is just don't go.
Totally. And the
so you're saying the best way to try to lose.
No, I'm saying that's the – I find it more exciting to save yourself with a eliminating somebody else and not getting eliminated yourself at Tribal Council. I find that more interesting.
So you say like you that find for that. Where do you have Michelle ranked? Don't say the number, but higher or lower than Danny. In your personal, not in the algorithm. Since you find this more entertaining and more interesting and more impressive, do you have Michelle ranked higher or lower?
Right, but it's not – we're not taking one factor. We're not taking one factor here. So it's a combination of – of metrics. It's not just one thing. I'm just explaining that one part of it. And I was saying, if you want to compare Danny's game to a winner, you would probably say Michelle's game is closest, and you say Michelle is a top five winner, top 10 winner. So it's like,
not even close.
At some points, you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth. You got to.
I don't. Well, you are literally talking out of both sides of your mouth because you said, God. I am more impressed with this.
Are we ranking winners or algorithms, guys?
Well, I set up the algorithm. So there's obviously
you have
like.
Michelle ranked higher or lower than Danny? That's all I want to know. And your personal.
I have Michelle at 27th in my personal.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear.
So it's like barely it's not that far. 10 spots different. That's
right.
Not that many.
Let's move off. All right. So Danny,
we're halfway. Yeah.
What, Blake?
We're halfway.
We're halfway. Here we go. 35. This is the first person.
I didn't think we're going to be doing this for
2
hours.
Almost make the top 10 of somebody's list. Jam Jam. Will had Jam Jam ranked at 11. John and McKenna had Jam Jam ranked at 48.
What the heck?
I had him at 35, and Blake had Jam Jam at where did you have Jam Jam? You had Jam Jam at 40. I had him exactly where he ended up because Will and John and McKenna were just like, what the hell is
honestly,
that?
Honestly, like
37 gap.
I feel like Jam Jam's one of, if not the best winner of the new era, has one of the best games. I mean, playing the middle with the Tika 3 and kind of being the leader of that. I mean, you could argue, oh, Carson was the strategic mastermind. I don't know if that's necessarily true. And I think Jam Jam has the charm and the social chops that he's always going to last deeper into the game than like an outwardly like nerdy Survivor fan that's more of a strategic threat. I think Jam Jam, like what he had to do with Carolyn and then with like Josh and that pre-merge, keeping that all together, when Josh made up that he had an idol, still had to pull the trigger on the vote. Like, he had to navigate quite a bit. And I think we look back on season 44 and go, oh, that's the Tika 3. Now that I think about it, it was so predictable, so obvious. Oh, there was no one else that really likable. Who cares about that? Like, he played a badass game. I probably didn't have him at 11. I can admit to that. I can see. I think maybe I had him high. Maybe I just – so the algorithm had him at 16. So maybe I had him
wow. Higher. So Will's about to have 5.
Yeah, no, I actually had him – I had him at 11 on my pairwise stuff okay. In terms of, like, dictating the game and game control. Like, I think he had supreme game control. 48 to me is crazy. Like,
I would love to hear why 48.
Amber, Chris Underwood, Jenna Maraska, Rob Crowley, like, all four of those are, like,
or they only two have of the Jenna four of those? Bob below Jam Jam.
So they have Chris Underwood better than Jam Jam. That's crazy to me. Like, that's worse than any algorithm that I could come up with.
I you know, John and McKenna aren't here to defend themselves. John might be getting a surgery right now. I agree with that statement, Will. Here's where it went for me with Jam Jam, and I ended up putting him at 35. I have him ranked higher than Erica, Kenzie, Gabler, Rachel. So I have him pretty much right in the middle, one spot behind Aubrey, but I already kind of explained my Aubrey thing, not far off from Savannah. Savannah, I had a 29. Here I have Jam Jam at 35. This is definitely one of those new era biases that's working against Jam Jam in my ranking. And I'm not to the level of, like, Blake being like, they only play 26 days, screw them. But, like, I am definitely lower on Jam Jam because of the new era than I would be had he played on an older school season. And I don't think he had the supreme control in the way that you are saying. Well, he definitely had control, but I don't think that he was in total control the entire game. He wasn't the one who was necessarily driving all of these votes. He voted correctly a lot, but it wasn't him who was, like, making every decision. And he wasn't the one who was pushing for very specific people. So I think,
I don't know about that. I think Jam Jam was, like, always steering the ship where he needed it to go. I would push back on that. I have you rewatched 44? Because I did rewatch 44. When I did, I remember being blown away by Jam Jam's game. And I think Jam Jam probably beats, I mean, who, let me look at the final six. I think he beats everybody in that final six.
A lot of people are saying Carson would have beaten Jam Jam. Now, here's I also think, I forget who's sixth place.
Everyone loved the guy. I think that's the main thing too. Like, socially so good. And then, like, strategically bouncing back and forth between alliances, like, doing very well in both the strategic
and I will and say this players. One Royal challenge. Says he was close to going home over Matt, but that was also in that BS swap. Jamie, Heidi is
about to talk
vote.
All about that. Don't worry,
anyone 7-1-0 in a three, like in a final three, like winning 7-1-0 is better in a, it's harder to do in a final three than it is in a
against Heidi three. And Carolyn.
That, change the algorithm.
I'm just saying, objectively, it's harder to win 7-1 in a final three than it is a final two
against Heidi and Carolyn.
You don't know.
Oh, what my God. What he's I'm saying subjectively.
I think you know what the point of that is. Like, Heidi and Carolyn aren't.
Right. Who was able to get to the end with Heidi and Carolyn? Jam Jam.
That's fine.
Getting jury votes is the point.
Wrong. I'm just telling you, like.
Winning challenges might be the point. So you don't get. But jury votes is the ultimate point.
I think that's crazy. So you think that this is more impressive than Todd beating Amanda and Courtney because Amanda and Courtney got votes because they're better players of Survivor than Heidi and Carolyn.
I mean, if Todd wanted a more assured victory, then he could sit next to Denise and John Robert. If he could navigate criteria. There, that would be a more impressive win.
Criteria.
Than giving
criteria.
Up jury votes.
Blake, okay, so Blake, what do you want?
You like the final three of China doesn't mean that was the best.
It's literally the best players anyway.
The best whatever, players. Dude. You don't want to sit next to the best players. You're proving my damn point.
If you can beat the best players, why the hell does it matter who you sit next to? Like, that's my point. So anyway, go ahead, Blake. You want to talk about ranking winners. Go ahead.
I had Yam Yam at 40.
It's Jam Jam.
Jam Jam at 40. I literally keep forgetting his name. I do want to say that there's Redemption Island, and then there's One World, and then I think season 44 is the least strategic cast of not the first eight seasons of like people that know what they're doing. And season 44, when I go look and I'm like, who does Jam Jam need to fight against? Who is Jam Jam need to outmaneuver? Who's the leader of the bad guys against Jam Jam? I'm not impressed with any of those people. And it is kind of like, how do they get three people to the end?
Well, Granny? They have the... Matt.
I'm not impressed with any of those people. I'm not impressed with and if you go back even further, like who lost in the pre-merge? It's like literally like murderer's row of like, clearly this was the fourth season during COVID. We didn't have a lot of people in the casting pool ready to go. This is just everyone that is an alternate. Just put them in. Jam Jam beats all those losers, but I don't think he's a very impressive game. And he played 26 days. I think he's my fourth highest ranking, though, still in New Era. So, like, there is some, like, I was super impressed by his final tribal. I think that's when he won the game for me. Whenever he does do the whole, like, I looked in your eyes. I mean, that seems so simple. But whenever he sold that, I looked in your eyes, I knew it was different. I knew you were against me. I had to vote you out. I was like, oh, my God. I remember just being like, this is amazing. And I thought Carolyn probably had a shot at winning that. I don't know how delusional I was, but when Jam Jam did all that, it is like, holy crap. However, I think his cast is pretty weak. And that is a thought process of mine. Could I have won 44? Yes, I could have won 44.
No.
Wow.
You're not beating Jam Jam. Jam Jam, I think Jam Jam
also. You put me in for Jam Jam because we're both the gay guy. I take Jam Jam's win, and I win it not the exact same way.
There's no shot.
But I have to hang out with Carolyn for 25.
Yeah, there's no shot Blake does that. And here's my other thing. I think a little bit of Will bias against Carson might be coming in here, right? Carson can't beat Jam Jam. No way. Yeah, I don't know, Will. I don't know.
Let me see if I included that bias. Where does Blake rank as the winner? Jam Jam, where are you, Jam Jam?
Probably 48th.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say not top 46. That's for sure. No, look, Jam Jam came in at this spot. I just think 11's high. I also think 48's crazy low. I think Jam Jam, the thing is, once you start getting to this middle, I don't have as strong of opinions on like 30 to 45 or 40 or whatever.
I gave a toss up for Carson. So he could be. He could beat four of them wholeheartedly. That's 8 points. And then I gave him 1 point for Carson because it was a 50-50 between him and Carson. So I didn't give him the full 10, even though you could argue that he did.
Yeah. We don't really know the answer to that. I think that's kind of interesting that all these years later, we don't really know. Although Ira D. Garcia says 100% loses. So maybe. All right.
I will say, I know we're not ranking based on like how well they do on any given season, but I think Jam Jam is often.
Oh, I think very he well. Proved that on the Traders.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think Jam Jam, his social game is impeccable. And I don't think there's really any denying that. Like I said, my ranking is more because it's New Era. And that's really what's knocking him. When I'm making my decision between him and others, I'm definitely putting him a little bit
left. I did not give a New Era doc to the algorithm. So maybe I should have.
Maybe should have. All right, let's move on. 34. This is not a New Era player. So we're back to pre-40.
Tommy Sheehan.
Nick Wilson. Nick Wilson coming in here at number 34, David versus Goliath. No votes against. Highest ranking was Will at 26. Lowest again, Johnny McKenna at 46. I ended up with Nick at 33. So right in front of Aubrey and Jam Jam. Four spots behind Savannah. Blake, you came in with Nick Wilson at what number did you put Nick at? You put Nick at 28. So you and Will in agreement on something. So this should be a positive portion of this podcast. What do you guys got for Nick Wilson?
Yeah, I'll go first. Yeah, you go first.
I think Nick Wilson had a great alliance, and I think he had a great strategy, and he had a great temperament. And there is the layer of would he have gone home in the first tribal council, or is that just a story the editors are telling us? And then it is, if Mike White's last name was Mike Orange and he was a struggling artist from Texas, would Mike Orange be the winner of this season? And I do think that does come into play of, would you rather have a millionaire win this or would you rather have Nick Wilson win this? And yes, he was a representative for the Davids and the David versus Goliath and kept all those relationships copacetic and happy. And I think that's probably why he wins, even if he does get a bonus from, I don't want to vote for a millionaire. But I do think if we're going to say, oh, they took this person's win, Mike Waite is the defining force in this. And Nick Wilson's like, yes, I agree. Yes, I agree. And it is kind of interesting to see those three people from a three-person tribe decimate everyone else. Decimate's the wrong word. Obliterate everyone else. And it is kind of cool to see that. But I think Mike Waite was the driving force. So Nick's the passenger. We're not saying coattails because I think he was strong enough. It's Angelina that gets zero votes, not him. He was talking to everybody else and enough in the strategy.
I think he would have been the first person voted out. That's been confirmed by pretty much everybody on that David tribe. But I do feel like the way he went about the alliances was the most impressive thing to me. And that's where, like, ultimately, is this another one that I ranked exactly where he ended? No, I was one spot higher, putting him at 33. But, like, I feel like going out of his way to name the alliances and do all of that stuff, like, that was a great strategy. It's not the flashiest game, especially on a really flashy season. But I feel like Nick had a lot more control than a lot of the community wants to give him.
Great.
Will?
Yeah, I think the toughest part here is the Mike Waite of it all. Does Mike Waite definitely win if he's not famous? Or even if he's not famous, let's just say Mike Waite says, hey, I actually want to win this title. I'm going to donate the money to charity, but like, I want to win. I want the title. I think I played the best game. Like, he doesn't even do that. Mm-hmm. Do we even know? And that's what's tripped up. The algorithm loved Nick Wilson. I think it's because he's really an all-around player. He wins some immunities late when he needs to, yet he's vulnerable a lot. He goes to a lot of tribal councils, 13 tribal councils attended. His win equity at Final Six is pretty high because, like, he did beat Mike Waite. So we know Mike Waite Angelina is definitely beating. And then he's probably only losing to Davey, and then I gave a half on Kara. So, like, I think he has a pretty well-rounded game. He wins 7 of 3 jury votes. So 70% of jury votes is pretty high too. So I get why the algorithm moment, but that does the algorithm ignores Mike Waite. And I think that's going to be the biggest question surrounding Nick Wilson's win. I had him way lower to end up at 26, but he does. I think people don't really like him, but I mean, he does a lot of things right. He's a more well-rounded player. I mean, we mentioned the naming of alliances. That's purely a social move. And I think he did a good job having the one-on-one relationships with everybody as he was kind of getting the Davids together to finally overtake the Goliaths. Like, he was integral in that. And then he does a good job managing his threat level. Right? I think enough people were like, Nick's actively playing. He's naming alliances. He's checking in with me. But he's never the top threat where you're like, oh, Christian is going to wipe the floor with me at Final Tribal Council. Oh, Davey's so likable. Like, there were just other people that were ahead of him in line. I think he did a good job of that as well. So I think this 34, this fits. I'm pretty happy with this, even though I do have him a few spots higher.
Yeah, I think that Nick's game, you know, there's so many great characters on that season, and Nick's not one of the top characters. It's kind of like Aris, but I do think that there's something a little bit more impressive about the way that Nick, like, balances everybody. He does get a vote from Dan at the end. He does get a vote from Johnny Mundo at the end. So he does get some Goliath votes. I think that final five, or not final five, but when he's on that tribe after the swap, when they do get rid of Natalie, I think that's a really great episode. And I know a lot of people think Mike Waite plays the better game, but honestly, for me, I think Nick does play the better game here. I think Mike White's game is a little overrated, and I think it's a little bit of like Monday morning quarterbacking and being like, yeah, Mike did this and Mike did that, and like, we're telling a story that's not really there. So I like Nick. No votes against is really impressive to go through an entire game without getting a vote against you, especially on a chaotic season like that. That's really, really, really hard to do.
Especially, you went to 13 tribal councils. That's one of the highest. Denise went to 14. So, like,
wow. See, and that is actually a very nice stat.
And then look at their pedigree when they get to Winners at War. They make it deep into that because they're used to surviving tribals.
Yeah. Look at that.
One thought process for you. I like doing a thought exercise every once in a while. Do you think whenever Mike Waite gets introduced to somebody at a swanky Hollywood party and they go, Mike Waite was on Survivor, do you think he goes, and I got second place? or do you think he goes, I kind of won it too. Everybody knows I won that season, even if somebody else got the money. What do you think in Mike White's brain? Do you think he thinks he won a season of Survivor?
No, I don't.
All right.
And I don't think it comes up at swanky Hollywood parties, to be completely honest with you.
I think they're talking more about the White Lotus than they are Survivor.
Yeah, that's all trying to get a role. Anyway, all right, so that's Nick at number 34. So now we have number 33, New Era. Who you got, Blake?
Marianne O'Ketch.
Rachel? Will, who do you think?
Rachel.
It is Rachel Lamont. What? So Rachel coming in from season 47, 33. Will, you ranked her at 18. Blake, you ranked her lowest at 41. In case if Blake and Rachel were ever going to be friends again, Blake just ensured that they never will be because Blake ranked her so low. Now, here's what I will say. Pretty much. So the gap between Rachel and number 32 is a 15-point gap. Blake, you could have ranked her at 26. It wouldn't have made a difference.
So
I could have ranked her at 19. It wouldn't have changed anything.
Yeah, exactly. One vote is the only thing separating her from a perfect game since she negated the votes against her. The three votes were negated by an idol play. Brilliant move, that one, when she pretty much convinces Andy to, like, tell his story and all that. She goes 7-1 over Rachel and Sam. I had her in the middle of you guys, obviously. I had her right there at 36. So just below, one spot below Jam Jam, two spots below Aubrey, one spot in front of Aris. So, like, I'm in line with a lot of these rankings, but it's
funny. We're all your friends. That makes sense.
You guys, but it doesn't because you guys are still all over the place. What's funny is you'll make it seem like it's because we're Phil's friends. I'm coming in the middle. Like, you guys have these really strong takes, but none of you are in agreement on your strong takes.
We're all in your orbit, and when you want a weird take about New Era, you talk to me. When you want a weird take about Old Era, you talk to the twofer, and we keep saying literal stuff. Will goes, I don't think I could make an algorithm that would rank them lower like them. And I'm like, you literally made an algorithm and that did it. You're saying literal shit.
I didn't. They had an algorithm that had Chris Underwood as a better winner.
I know.
And who was
it?
You
had an algorithm that you made that didn't. And you're like, I don't think I could make one.
This is awesome. I mean, I don't think you're understanding what I'm saying. Wait, who was that for, by the way?
Who's what for?
What winner was that for? Who did they have at 48? They had someone at 48.
That was Yam Yam. That was crazy.
Okay, yeah. Having Jam Jam, having Chris Underwood above Jam Jam to me is like
crazy.
Insanity. That's what I was saying. Anyway, yeah.
Jam Jam played 26. Chris Underwood played 6. 9. 12.
I honestly thought I saw 18. I kind of scoffed. Like, how did I get to 18? That feels way too high. I had her at 26 in my subjective rankings. The algorithm loves Rachel. So,
Jesus.
Rachel's a very well-rounded, strong player. Yep. I mean, we know this, right? I think what's hurting Rachel is something that does, in its way, maybe like winners like Ben or players with like the caveat. To me, she gets saved a couple times, like the idol that she finds, and then she goes on the journey. That ends up saving her. She gets she gets to walk away from the tribal where she's definitely going home. I've always defended that.
Well, that was also dumb, though, to be fair. She was put in that position by a stupid twist. So that
right. That's what I was saying. Like, she got twist screwed by it being like four members of the blue tribe and then her being the only one. And so I wouldn't really say I was lucky that, you know, Saw was able to like call in the extra help and send it a twist. But yeah, I think she's well-rounded, social, obviously good at challenges. She wins a lot at the end. So I had her. I think she's a middle. She's a very solid middle tier winner. Also somebody who's probably performing very well on any given season. I know that's not how we're ranking them, but I think you can say that for Rachel.
Yeah, Rachel, to me, feels like she has the win twice upside, for sure. I think Rachel's so unassuming, and she's just such a big fan of the show. And I think Rachel is another one of those players that doesn't really care if she's the star of the season. She just wants to win Survivor. And I think she's a great confessionalist, but she doesn't care if she's as good as Sam. She doesn't care if she's as good as Andy. She doesn't care if she's as good as even Teenie. I think Rachel's just like, whatever. I'm coming out here, and I want to win, and that is my number one goal. And I think she proved like she's so well-rounded. I mean, between the puzzle she went and made that game that like a lot of people now own and like are enjoying. So like she has the ability to make puzzles and win puzzles, which is good. She's really good social. I mean, I also think to beat Sam, and there's my first mistake. I was supposed to say Sam and Sue. I put Rachel and Sam. Damn it. I think to be able to beat Sam 7-1 is really, really, really impressive. So it's the first mistake I put on here. Rachel and Sam, what an idiot. She didn't beat herself. She beat Sue, but 7-1 is an impressive win. So, yeah, that's where I got her. Blake, why do you have her?
It doesn't matter so high. 7-1.
Blake, do you just like dislike her as a person? Do you not know the fact that she's a graphic designer? Like, what is it that puts you at 41?
So I think she only played 26 days. So that's a thing. She won 4 immunities. And I think that's something where it's like, holy crap. Most of the time when you win 4 immunities, you do it interspersed from like 12. Like I got one at 8 and then I got one at 5 and then I got the one at 4 too. She literally was not able to be eliminated since Gabe went home. And I think in other seasons we'd be like, oh, pin bomb again. Like, oh, it's whatever. And it's like, okay, she's the athletic version of that. Well, she's not a crazy athlete, but like, okay, she eliminated the stronger threats and challenges. Maybe she's beating Sam Phelan every time too. How is Sam not better at challenges? But then it's Sue and Teeny and you're like, okay, well, could I do this? I don't know. She's very smart. I think she got the gift of getting through the Sol boot. She had no idea who was going home the first part of the merge. That could have been her if they had really thought about it. Why are they obsessed with breaking up Sam and that other person? And sure, her name's going to be lost forever. We could never figure it out. Annika. But it is something where it's very impressive that she was not able to be voted out from like literally, what is that, final 9 on, which is like crazy. I could never do that. Final 8 on. And so it is something where, what are you impressed by? Challenge wins, getting into the end. Yeah. I think she would be eliminated if she didn't have those challenge wins. And we know for sure she was the target of Operation Italy, which she would have had her idol to stop. But then her idol doesn't exist the next round. So I do think without immunity, she's gone. And I think there's some other people that they don't have immunities. They made it to the end without immunities. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an impressive game, but it is something where, well, what if she doesn't have immunity here? There's a lot of what ifs to blow the bullet holes, but there are bullet holes of like, I was just completely safe from here to here. And it's like, damn, that's impressive. But it's also, I don't think you're on the top strategy wise whenever it's like, I don't really have to care what happens tonight because I'm immune.
Yeah, Rachel's one of the interesting ones because like we obviously have Mike Holloway ranked higher. We haven't named Mike Holloway yet. Mike Holloway, we know, would have went home had he not won immunities. But also,
every
like
one time, one
of the things I realized when watching Worlds Apart is that's because everybody he was playing with was awful at Survivor. Like they're so bad at the game that they don't even want to hear what he's saying. He's making all the right points. Nobody will listen to him. I don't know if Rachel would have survived a lot of the tribal councils that she did, but I do think she almost had a similar strategy to Adam, where it was like keep some threats around so that you're never the biggest threat. And like you felt like you always had to get rid of Genevieve. You always had to get rid of Andy. Diabetic Survivor says, put it back up. If you view 47 as an unofficial Brains versus Rom versus Beauty season, Rachel as a brain completes the trifecta and the theme, having a winner from each tribe alongside Tony as Braun and Michelle as Beauty. Yeah, I mean, that's cool. But I just feel like Rachel, she wasn't going to beat everybody in the final 6. I'm sure the algorithm agrees with that. But she needed to have some people in that final 6 that she could lose to.
She's not beating everyone in that final 6.
That's what I just said.
Oh, okay.
And I said that the algorithm agrees with that because I'm sure Will docked like 14 points from Rachel's score out of 10 because Genevieve was still in the game at final 5. You know, I mean, Genevieve, Will, where did you rank Genevieve in your winner rankings? Because she had to be pretty high up for you.
Genevieve didn't win.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess
you
we'll
wouldn't
never
know it talking to you, big guy.
No, but the algorithm did have her at 10. In the winner ranking. So, and it really, she got a big bump from the challenge score. So finally that's arrived where
there you go.
Challenges have launched Rachel into the top 10.
There you go.
But she did get 7 of 8 jury votes. That also helps. She had good win equity at final 6 outside of, you know, Genevieve was there, but
yeah.
If only she was more excited to shoot that one video in pregame, so I didn't count her out from the beginning.
And you still
we wouldn't have gone down this road.
Dude. Rachel's gonna come back and play again, and Blake's gonna be like, "Oh, great, the worst winner of all time! Like, I can't believe I have to watch her play again." For everybody who's listening, please like this video. Like the video, this way Rachel can see this and see that Blake once again is doubting her. So please like the video; that helps a lot. So the gap between number 40 and Rachel was 15 points. The gap between Rachel and number 32 was also 15 points. So we're kind of into, even though we're in this same level of 10, we're kind of into a different tier with our next person. Number 32. Okay. Here we go. We got one new era and one non-new era left. And at number 32, we have Tommy Sheehan, Island of the Idols. John and McKenna ranked him highest at 19. Will ranked him at 34. What's actually really funny with Tommy, John and McKenna had him high at 19, which is really what pulled him up here to get to 32. But Will, you had him at 34. I had Tommy at 32 and Blake had Tommy at 33. So wow. John and McKenna helped lift him up, but he ended up at like the exact spot that we all thought he should have been at, and had John and McKenna ranked him lower too, he still ends up at like 32 or 33.
So. And the algorithm had him at 39.
Wow, that's his season number two.
Whoa.
That's crazy. I want to speak on Tommy first because I'm very happy that Tommy ended up at 32. Like, I think that this is a good spot for Tommy, exactly where I had him. I think people get lost on how good Tommy's game is because of what nonsense Island of the Idols is. But I think that, you know, this was at the point where we were so tired of advantage getting and bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Tommy just plays Survivor. He doesn't go to Island of the Idols. He doesn't get an advantage. If I'm not mistaken, he doesn't win immunity. He's literally just playing old school social strategic Survivor, and he doesn't use any of the gimmicks or any of that stuff. Now, I know ultimately he tells Dean where to play the Idol Nullifier to get Janet out of the game at Final Five. He probably isn't beating Janet, although he is pretty adamant that he thinks he had her. But I do feel like people forget Tommy's game because Tommy's game is so, so subtle. But on a season where you were winning by using all the gadgets at this era of Survivor, Tommy just cruised. And he overcame a split tribal where he didn't have the numbers. He convinced, I guess, Nora that he was not good at making fire, that Dean was better, so that he would get taken to Final Three because he knew he could win there. It's just like, He does a very, very, very good job, and I'm happy to see that he almost made it to episode number three.
Yeah, this feels about right for Tommy. I can't say I've rewatched Island of the Idols. I don't know the season well or the ins and outs. I do remember being like kind of dumbfounded that Nora brought Tommy to the end. And I always thought, well, is that just because Nora doesn't understand the game, doesn't understand Survivor, doesn't have any perception of what the jury's doing? Or is that just because Tommy's so good? I don't know. It's probably a combination of both, but that's a reason you could potentially like dock, like, okay, he was just taken to the end, even though he was the clear front runner. That's kind of insane. But yeah, I mean, this feels like he's kind of a, you don't really remember. I don't remember crazy big moves from Tommy. Like, he's not a challenge beast by any means. Like you said, he doesn't win any individual immunities. So it is good. He does survive. I think he has 9 post-merge tribals where he's vulnerable, which is pretty impressive. And then to get as many jury votes as he does, 80%, that's pretty damn good also. So I think this is kind of a good spot for Tom. I mean, I'm at 34, he's at 32.
And another thing,
I do think there's a world where Tommy is ranked way higher if Island of the Idols goes differently without the whole Dan of it all. And it's a normal season that people rewatch and talk about more. He's probably 5 to 10 spots. I don't know if he's like that much higher. I don't know if he's ever being becoming like a top 20 winner, but this tier feels right.
Yeah. And I do think like the other thing that I kind of point out is he was aligned with, Dan, you know, and Dan gets ejected from the game at Final Six. And now Tommy has to kind of pivot there and he's still fine. You know, like that's a late in the game. You know, we see Aubrey, there's only one vote after Joe gets knocked out of the game, but like with Tommy, you know, how does that impact his game? I think everybody felt like they could beat Dan at that point, so he's probably thinking, I'm gonna take Dan at the end, and now all of a sudden that's gone. Now he's got to make sure he can still beat Dean, he can still beat Lauren, he can still beat Janet. I don't think he beats Janet. I think him versus Lauren would have been very, very close. Blake, what do you got on Tommy?
Trying to remember who got screwed the most or who benefited the most from Janet getting nullified. And is it something where Janet had a chance at winning fire and immunity? Because then it is kind of like, oh, that's going to dock some points. I do think he is the most even keel person on I wouldn't say it's chaotic. I would say it's like almost like I'm not saying he's pure heart, but like there's a lot of stuff going on this season. And least problematic, I don't know if I'd say that, but like something where he's like, I'm just the chill dude in the corner. Come to me when you're done talking to those people. Those people are weird. Nora's weird. Come talk to me afterwards. This person's weird. Come talk to me. Karishma, I know she's driving me crazy too. Come talk to me afterwards. And like, I think the funniest thing that I always remember about 39, I haven't rewatched, I don't know why, but it's something where it's like, he's the only person who did not talk to Rob or Sandra on their own in any of that, like in game or like in the merge.
Normal game. Yeah.
And it's like, how is that possible? And so it's like, he didn't pay attention to any of the distractions. He is not distracted. Everyone else is distracted. It would be like, how are you guys not voting out Tommy in any other season? But that is something where it's like, you know, the Albligator, the Gabler Gator, Alligabler, he's like the deep sea turtle Tommy that like is so under the radar. Like, I would say this is an under the radar game in like a new version of Survivor, where like we never appreciated under the radar games before in the early days of the show. And I guess we're not appreciated now because Tommy's probably one of the lowest 30s of the 31 through 39 players. But it is something where like the under the radar and constant, like, I am the most even keel, pure hearted person in the corner. This was the season to do it. And it just seems so dominant.
What's funny is we actually have Tommy ranked higher than 7 New Era winners. We have him ranked higher than Ben. We have him ranked higher than Nick. Like, we do have him. We have him higher than Chris Underwood. So, like, we're not totally sleeping on Tommy here. What'd you say, Will?
I said duh for Chris Underwood.
But I get that. But it's like
for John and McKenna, but, you know, for most.
Yeah, I know. Well, they ranked him at 19. They're all in on Tommy. I think Tommy's game, it is one of those unfortunate ones. I personally would like to see Tommy play again. I think that Tommy would be – I'd like to see if Tommy can do the same game a second time.
It will never happen.
No, no shot. Nobody from Island of the Idols ever plays again, which is sad because it's actually not a bad cast.
Karishma!
Lauren. All right, you guys ready? 31. Who is it?
It's a new era. Marianne O'Ketch.
It's got to be Marianne. It's Marianne. So that means we are through our first 20 and 8 of them are new era winners. Congratulations, Blake. Your plan worked. You did it. Marianne comes in at 31, 2 votes against, wins 7-1-0. Will had her at 19. You guys will never believe this. Blake was lowest on her at 42. Blake, we already know your reasoning. I have her ranked kind of high because as a new era, but she only played 26 days. Okay, great. Will, why'd you go 19 on Marianne?
I'm looking up where.
Right, I will tell everybody. I had Marianne at 28, the highest person ranked. So she ended up at 31. I had her as the highest ranked of these 20 people. I think that Marianne's game is one of those games where you come into that season and you say Marianne has no shot of winning this. She's done. She's gonna lose. And then her game starts to slowly take over, and the social elements of her game are incredible. And then the move against Omer is incredible. I think Marianne plays a very, very, very good game. I have her ranked at 28, just outside of the top half. But it is one of those games that kind of it sneaks up on you. And then you're like, wait a second, how is Marianne in the driver's seat? And that is something I think about when I do these, you know, rankings of Marianne is somebody who should have been out right away. And everybody thought Marianne was so annoying and she was just out of her element. And the next thing you know, Marianne is winning the game. That's impressive to me. That's a real story. So I ranked her at 28. She ends up here at 30.
Yeah, I think Marianne is one of the best new era winners. I know we always say it's like D, maybe Kyle. I've said Jam Jam, I think, is good. I think Marianne is definitely in that conversation. I think she does exactly what she needs to. Like, she manages her threat level, which is basically new era Survivor. she gets deep enough. But then once we get deep enough, it's not like she just ends up in final three. Like, she gets herself there and gets herself there with the right people. She takes out the threats, sits next to people she can beat. 7-1-0. I mean, against Mike Turner, who Mike Turner was a big character, had a big game, had moves, really just owns him. Owns him in Final Tribal Council. I mean, it is a very, very good Final Tribal Council performance, which maybe that should have been in the algorithm. That wasn't. I actually had higher. I was higher on her in my personal rankings than the algorithm was, because I think she's. Look, you could make the argument like, okay, she could have gone home early, but guess what? She didn't. And once she kind of found, like, once she fit in, I loved how she even had to get rid of an idol at the Drea vote, where Drea was going to go home, and then Drea plays her idol, and then Marion's like, I guess I have to play mine also. Like, she's playing down an idol, and she still wins. Like, that's pretty impressive. So, yeah, I'm a fan of Marion's game. I know, like, I don't usually, like, again, to the I think the surprise is almost – because I was kind of annoyed with her, I gotta say. Like, early on, like pre-merge, I'm like, she's too much. She's too giggly. She's too laughy, too super fanny. This isn't what I want on my TV screen. But she flips a switch, turns into a deadly Survivor player in the end of that post-merge, right when she needs to. If she does it any earlier, she's gonna be the one going home. So yeah. I think she threads the needle so nicely. I've always enjoyed Marianne.
Go ahead, Blake. What's your 42?
I think Marianne is a strong player for all 26 days that she plays. It is something so that brutal. Is just a little frustrating to see. Let's stick to the positives. I think there's some other people that come in with a majority at merge. There's four orange people. They are the most, and they don't do a lot of swaps on this season. I don't think there's a swap. So the four orange people are Marianne, Omer, Lindsay, and Jonathan. And I think in a lot of other seasons, they would be targeted. I think in a lot of other seasons, they would break down. They would whatever. They get to six before this happens. And Marianne makes the decision. Or whoever. I think it was this. And so she's the one who makes the move to break up the orange, because she knows what her permutations are to get to the end. And, like, we haven't mentioned Romeo's name at all for big reason, but it is something where Romeo takes her to the end, right? That's the right season.
Yeah.
So it is something like she's even playing. Yeah, Romeo's name is right there. Romeo takes her to the end, and it is like, dang, are you playing on every level of this? I think four people that are orange get broken up way earlier in a lot of other seasons. And it is something where that is impressive. I was impressed by her final tribal. I think it's one of the easiest, like, winning. Like, Todd is number one on that. Marianne's in the top five, maybe top three. And, like, hey, you guys, some people are good at puzzles. Some people are good at dragging people through the water in a beach. I'm good at talking, and this is my, like, my championship moment right here. And I think that's pretty strong. I just am unfortunate you only played 26.
Mm. There you go. And you ranked her as the sixth best new era, correct?
I don't remember. I don't know.
I think it's six.
Who ranked the new era winners? Oh, wait. We all literally did.
Yeah, exactly. So Marianne ends up here at number 31.
Why are you airing it out? I don't think she was six. Let me look.
I'm going to air out.
Where did I have her out of new era?
She was my sixth best new era winner.
Yeah.
There's a lot of new era winner. New era winners.
I had her at three. I had her only behind D and Kyle. Right? One spot ahead of Savannah.
Should we do the next 10?
I had D. I don't want to give it anyway. Okay.
Yeah, don't give anything away. We'll get to Kyle.
I do want to ask one question of each of you, the algorithm included. McKenna and John part two. Who is your highest person that's been eliminated so far?
Oh, so I actually have this. Do you want me to just read this off?
I think Jam for me. It's
Jam Jam for Will.
Mine's ours.
Tommy's for John and McKenna at 19.
Mine's 23, though.
Yeah, yours is Aris at 23, and mine is 28 with Marianne. This is actually my highest player rank. Knocked off.
God, it's Phil. We're all your friends, Phil. This is why your thing is.
I mean, my ranking is just right. You guys are just doing nonsense. this.
I think Phil just like weighted the rankings towards his own. He's like, look, I'm the most accurate.
It's funny that like, it's just, you guys are trying to have all these hot takes and it all just comes back to being where people should be.
I mean,
that's why I watch Phil.
I don't think Marianne is that hot of a take. Good winner.
That's why I watch Phil, is for all his perfect lukewarm takes that are don't burn my lips at all whenever I drink them, you know?
I don't know. According to some people, this is Rage Bait part two. So here we go. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know how we haven't mentioned Kim and Tony.
Marianne's at 31.
It'll be like Kim and Tony, and it's going to be like Rage Bait.
Rage Bait. Yeah, you guys like them the most? That's crazy. Anyway, thank you all so much for listening. There's the last slide. We actually will be Monday this time. This is just USA gave Will and us all false hope. And how'd that work?
I don't know if Monday is going to work for me, by the way.
Wow. Nice. Okay. So maybe Monday isn't going to work, even though we've been saying Monday the whole time. All right, everybody, we'll see you at some point next week. We'll have to figure it out. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.
See ya.